There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 107 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Back for another hour with you at 343-0106. Hey, my name is Sean. I'm glad you're here. Let's have a good hour here. It's a good hustle here in this hour. I was counting up some of the numbers. I just thought that was interesting. What's been spent by Bloomberg in the state of Alabama here with the Super Tuesday, the SEC primary here, and then what was spent by just the three top candidates in the Senate race. Not even close what Bloomberg has spent. I want to run through this. We're going to get Jeff Poore on here in just a second, and I got some questions for him. But I want to run through a quick story here about the coronavirus, because it just ran again. I'll tell you what. I bet you I can get the clip. I can get the clip so we can react. Let's get the coronavirus clip here. Where they're talking about, maybe we don't have it. We'll get it in a second. The coronavirus, the immaculate infection, as it's been termed, right? For lack of a better term, the immaculate infection in Northern California, right? That we have the story, and it's running here on Westwood One. We'll probably hear it at the bottom of the hour. But the story is that an American has contracted coronavirus. We don't know where it comes from, right? And so Westwood One is running the story. But they also say that this is next to the base, one of the places they're bringing people in from the cruise ship was, right? That was over in Japan. Sure, okay, Sacramento Bee has it. Drudge linked that up. It said officials with U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention confirmed the nation's first coronavirus case of unknown origin Wednesday in Northern California, the latest sign of the virus's rapid spread. They said this is a confirmed case. There is one in Northern California. The individual is a resident of Solano County and receiving medical care in Sacramento County. Individual had no known exposure to the virus through travel or close contact with a known infected individual. So that's why I call this the immaculate infection, right? Just happened. So in this story, though, Dalton and I were talking about this morning when the story first came up on Westwood One. They go down and they talk about it. It's a community infection or something. It may not have the right term. And they're trying to figure out how this spread everywhere. So somebody that had no interaction with coronavirus that they can link all of a sudden has it. And then they point out that the Air Force base there, the quarantine base, is right near where this person lived. Now, I'm not in the movie, whatever. What is the virus outbreak movie with Dennis Hoffman? Is it? I don't know. I don't watch enough movies. But that there's a movie where he's in one of those suits, and he's going around, and he's trying to prevent some kind of big infection. And I'm sure the text line now is full of people telling me the name of the movie. I don't think it's that big of a cliffhanger, right? I mean, saying, oh, it's just an immaculate infection here happened, and then you say, oh, by the way, but also the base where they brought all these people from the cruise ship that were infected is right there in the same area. I mean, maybe it's not, but it seems like it should be a clue. It should be something to be investigated. I don't know. Right now, it's an immaculate infection. We'll see. All right, check in with our buddy Jeff Poore from Lanyap, Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, and a man getting ready to go on the air here shortly for the Jeff Poore Show on WVNN up in Huntsville. Hey, Jeff. Did I not press the right buttons? It's been one of those days here. There he is. All right, Jeff, there he is. I hear you.
All right, yeah.
Now, I'm just sitting here trying to figure this out. Did you see that story? I mean, Westwood One's been reporting it today that it's this case in Northern California of coronavirus. And I'm not saying I know exactly what happened, but for them to just say, well, no one knows, this just happened, it's community transmission or whatever, and then all of a sudden in the story later they go, and also the base where they're, you know, taking the people that are infected off that ship is there. I mean,
it's like the mystery contraction of the coronavirus. I'm skeptical that that's how that happened. I'm not a scientist or a medical doctor, but this thing just appearing out of thin air seems, it seems a little strange.
Yeah, that there would be, you know, this immaculate infection, that this person has not been around. If there's nobody in that community that has coronavirus, and then this person just gets it, then we have a real story here. If it just dropped in from the sky. But we're not looking at at least the clue that there's a base there where they have quarantined people coming off of the cruise ship over in Japan. I guess I'm missing something. I'm slower. Sacramento Bee must be way ahead of me.
Or somebody got in contact with somebody that had it. You know, I mean, there's a number of different ways it could have been contracted. And I don't know that they've explored all possibilities. But your guess is as good as mine is where this came from, out of thin air. It just seemed very bizarre. A lot of strange things going on with this. And it's really, it's having an impact on the economy. It's having an impact on a lot of different things. How is the administration going to grapple with this? And what does this do to the public at large?
The reaction of the markets to me has been unreal. Now, do I expect some reaction to this? Sure. I do wonder why it came all of a sudden, you know, because we have been talking about this coronavirus. They've been using terms like epidemic, pandemic. They've been talking about it moving, you know, outside of China. This has been going on a month and a half. Then all of a sudden the market just decides the other day, now they've got it. Well, they had it in Europe. They say, oh, well, they got it in Europe. Now they're panicking. They had it in Europe. And now all of a sudden, just say picked a day in the market, everybody decided to bail on it.
Well, I don't know that the market does what it does, or investors do what they do, but was there perhaps this notion that we would have it under control a little bit better than our agencies that we rely on? It's kind of like this, they're trying to make this Trump's Katrina in some ways.
Uh-huh.
And we expect government to function and perform certain functions for the public benefit, including public safety, including health. And are they ready for this? And, you know, there's this weird notion out there that, no, they weren't ready for this, and they're caught flat-footed.
And if you wouldn't talk about the political angle of this, which I mean, you can't help it, because as soon as the pressure happened yesterday evening, it was no matter, you know, what part of it, it was wrong by estimates of some out there. And listen, if there's a scientific reason that the move is wrong, I want to know that. If it's just you don't like the person making the decisions, that doesn't help the situation. But it does involve politics as well, because one of the biggest planks of the platform, heck, it's not a plank, it's a 4x8 sheet of plywood that helps President Trump get reelected in November, is this economy.
Yeah, I agree with that. But the economy, just the fundamentals of the economy, it sounds very cliche, but I think the fundamentals of the economy are sound. It's just you have this little bit of a panic in it, and how much does coronavirus really impact the American economy? Do we see, you know, is this the Black Plague, or is this just like the bird flu or avian flu? It comes and then it goes, and then that's, you know, then eventually we get a vaccination for it, and everything is fine. Does the economy, does the economy recover from that? It's a strange game to try to figure out the moves on the chessboard, but I got to think that eventually we'll get through this.
It does make me question. I mean, for somebody to come out and say American companies will make no profit this year, it's going to be a no growth. Obviously, you have connections even still with tariffs and the battles going on with China. Supply side, bringing things in the United States, But is it so critical to bring those products in from China still with where we are in this tariff war that it's enough to completely disrupt companies? Maybe it is. Maybe that margin, if people aren't showing up to work in China and making whatever widget goes into the bigger widget here, it is. But I'm just not aware of exactly how that works.
My theory on this is this, that yes, the China supply chain is disrupted, no question about it. But I think investors looked at it, they didn't think it would spread to Vietnam. They didn't think it would spread to, Thailand or any of these other Southeastern Asian countries where that supply chain now is, because it moved from China down south. And that may be a part of it, that they thought this was just more isolated to China, and now it's starting to spread. And so that's number one. That's disrupting the whole supply chain globally, because we manufacture so much stuff in Asia right now. Secondarily, though, it's impacting travel stocks. It's impacting people. There's a fear in the system. Does all this work in combination to impact the Dow Jones Industrial Average or whatever, even NASDAQ, the tech stocks where they make some of these high-tech gadgets that we love? So there's the supply chain side of it that's not just, this being disrupted, but also that fear element that maybe the public's like looking at this. I don't know about this. Maybe I'm going to stash a little cash away, put some money in gold or something like that.
Yeah, you had that. You've been right on that. Look at where gold has gone out there, up, up, up. All right, we come back for the break. I want to talk a little more about some national stories, but man, I really want to delve into what's going on here in Alabama in the legislature and in these AL1 Senate race. And can we talk some AL2 as well?
Absolutely.
All right, coming right back. More with Jeff Poore right here on Midday Mobile.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Hey, I've got Dalton. You look at these. So, sorry. As everybody's texting at the name of the movie, I'm getting Contagion. An Outbreak. I think the one I saw, I am like the worst with movies. Dennis Hoffman, what is his name? Isn't it Hoffman? The actor. So I thought that was, maybe that's Outbreak, but it's Contagion. I'm seeing Outbreak. And then Brian says, watching a pandemic on Netflix a few weeks ago. Pandemic is the name of the series. Okay. Great series for our times. Polecat guesses the name of the movie was 50 Shades of Grey. Not sure that was right, Polecat. I'll have to double check that. Dustin Hoffman, thank you, Dustin Hoffman. Wasn't that Outbreak? He was in. Jeff, do you know what I'm talking about? The movie?
Yes, it was Outbreak. Dustin Hoffman.
See, ding, ding, ding. Okay, so it wasn't. It was. Yes. So I'm just picturing Dustin Hoffman in that like a spacesuit, deal walking around. That's what folks in Northern right. California should be wearing now. All right. Let's switch gears for a second from contagious outbreaks and pandemics to the politics of Alabama and where we sit now in the Senate race. It was interesting. I had a conversation with Todd Stacey, and he said, you look at the undecideds in this, and he said, and one of the things that's not been looked at or discussed in those polls is kind of the way the questions were, and you didn't get people to talk about which way. If you were undecided, you're not just neutral, right? I mean, there's a lot of people that are undecided, but they would break towards this candidate or that candidate. Is that fair to say? You're undecided, but if I had to vote today, it would be for this person.
Yeah. Well, most people, you say those names to them, maybe they don't mean much, and that's why they say undecided. I don't think that this round of TV ads that we're seeing, they're probably not being shown in your market as much as they are in Huntsville and Birmingham, are really penetrating the likely voter base.
So wait a second. So you think it's not indecision amongst choices that they know as much as they are ignorant to the names of Tuberville, Byrne, and Sessions?
I think so. I mean, you know, really? how many people respond to this stuff? How many people have this tuned in right now that there's even a Senate election? Sure, maybe they know who Jeff Sessions is. He's Kate McKinnon from Saturday Night Live or something. Who knows? I mean, but I think so Merrill's got, John Merrill, Secretary of State, John Merrill's got the turnout at like 30-something percent, 1.2 million. I think that's on the high side. I just don't think this particular Senate election and the congressional elections are really penetrating voters and the public at large right now. I think people are kind of still in maybe tune-out mode, and maybe it gets better here in the next week or so, but it just doesn't feel
they got to figure it out by Tuesday.
Well, yeah, but how, I mean, how much time does somebody actually put into their decision? I mean, like, we would like to think people study the issues and they lay everything out and the difference in the candidates. But you can't turn on Fox News, MSNBC, or CNN to find anything about the Alabama Senate race. And you barely can tune in to WKRG or, you know, WPMI or any of these news channels and get that much in-depth. You know, you have to seek it out. It's online, sure, but does it really penetrate? And that's the question. And I think right now I'm leaning toward the low side.
Yeah, it is. You think about the coverage of the special, right? And how much attention, national attention, was here, and how much it is not here now.
Well, consider this: even that special in 17 wasn't gangbusters turnout. It wasn't humongous turnout. Presidential elections are a different sort. It permeates pop culture. It is, you know, they talk about it during sportscasts. You see it in your day-to-day life. How much, especially in Mobile, Alabama, are people dealing with the AL1 election and or the U.S. Senate election?
Let's talk about the runoff stats here. Do you think runoff in both Senate primary and AL1 primary?
Yeah, there's just too many candidates. It's a crowded field. If we were dealing with maybe, if you didn't have to, It's a little top heavy, but if it were just one or two candidates or maybe three candidates, then maybe we're heading, but you get through without a runoff. But AL1 especially, and the U.S. Senate race, Roy Moore is going to take away from people. He's going to get a certain amount of voters.
What does Roy Moore get?
It's all going to be split up evenly, right?
What is Roy Moore? And we don't talk about him. We end up talking about the top three here in Byrne and Tuberville and Sessions. What does Roy Moore walk away from Tuesday with? What kind of 5%? Less? More? What?
If it's a high turnout race, probably under 10%. If it's low turnout, if it's under a million, I think 11, 12%. So that's kind of the over-under, I think. It's a million voters.
So the low turnout just because his people are going to vote no matter what?
Yeah, there's certain voters, I think, are kind of inelastic. They show up. It's like you're always going to have a demand for toilet paper. It doesn't matter how the economy is going. Think of it that way when we talk about, you know, the economies of voting blocks. You're always going to have really more voters to a certain degree. Maybe not as many as you used to have, but you will still have a certain amount of them.
Okay, so that takes away, we've talked about this before, but you think that takes away from whom? If Roy Moore wasn't in the race, where would those votes go? Is it evenly split? Does it just break out down the line, or what do you think?
I think it takes probably most away from Tommy Tuberville. It just seems to be the outsider's kind of a season right now. The outsider seems to be where all the enthusiasm is, and both of those guys kind of run in that lane. It also may take away from Jeff Sessions a little bit, but those are probably the two biggest hurt.
All right, let's talk about you talk about the television ads and what's been happening here. Do you think Chris Pringle's done himself enough to get in the runoff?
He's done some clever things, a lot of gimmick. You think of football, the team that wins off of trick plays all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of the Chris Pringle campaign.
They've been good ads. They got people talking.
Yeah. So some of it works, but the fundamentals, the basic foundation of a campaign, the money, is Jerry Carl and Bill Hightower. So, you know, could Chris Pringle get in? I think it's still a little bit of a long shot. He's not out of it by any stretch of the imagination.
All right. What are you thinking on as we look around here? By the way, yeah, what's your take on the AL1 or the Amendment 1? What do you think is going to happen here?
I think it goes down bad. I think, I know Todd Stacey did a poll on it and showed it like 10 or 20%, but I think it's going to be a bigger margin than that. It hasn't polled well. When people read it, when they get down to it, you know, the enthusiasm is against it. I know the governor and Pro Tem Del Marsh and some others are really pushing the yes side of it, but when you start talking about taking power away from voters, the centralization of power in a Republican primary where the conservatives really come out to vote, make up a bigger block of the electorate, I think it's going to go down.
All right. We will be talking again, if not before. You're going to be helping me out on Tuesday a little bit here and there.
Yeah, we're going to try. If we can get this, we can get some of this stuff worked out, we'll definitely show
you. Tell everybody what we're doing. We got a wire run between the FM Talk 106.5 studios the whole way up to Huntsville, and we're connecting the wires, soldering at each end. That's how we're going to do this, right?
Yeah, just a word about the trucks running over it on 65.
Appreciate it, man. We'll check back with you, and we'll be talking on Tuesday.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure. Jeff Ford joining us here on Midday Mobile. Coming right back, we'll grab your calls. 343-0106. 343-0106. Yeah, somebody asked it. It sounded like it was to me that the comparison was made between Roy Moore and toilet paper. Jeff, that's sound like what Jeff said.
Super Tuesday. Let your voice be heard. Then listen for the updates, recap, and analysis. FM Talk has enlisted the assistance of the best political pundits in Alabama to unwrap the results of your votes locally. The AL1 congressional race. Will there be a runoff for the U.S. Senate seat? Sean Sullivan and Jeff Poore host election night coverage, beginning when the polls close at 7 on FM Talk. FM Talk 106.5. This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 136 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, phone number 343-0106, text line 343-0106. How about this for the new trending out there? Price gouging stories, right? We talk about price gouging. It seems like hurricanes or whatever, aftermath, getting a conversation about price gouging. Now, coronavirus fears send face mask prices skyrocketing, prompting warnings about price gouging. So, and we'll get into this, because just because it's a face mask doesn't mean it's going to keep you safe. It says, story here, days after the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention warned about a potential coronavirus pandemic and the spread of the virus through communities in the United States, prices for protective face masks have skyrocketed. And sure, now after we've been told the story on Northern California, the immaculate infection, where the person just like all of a sudden popped up with the coronavirus, they don't pay attention to the fact that the base where they quarantined the people from the Princess cruise ship is right there. That, don't worry about that, that it just popped up there. It goes on to say, after some sellers on Amazon marked up face masks to nearly four times their regular price, the site warned sellers that price gouging could get them thrown off the website. Now, that is completely in their rights. Like, where I will take one of my many unpopular opinions about price gouging when it comes to government interaction there. I know, listen, there's a lot of great arguments to be made against it, but if you're going to be consistent with thought, you just ought to check that on price gouging. But if Amazon wants to choose to kick their people off, then good for them. They can do that, right? They're not passing a law. They're not bringing a government agency in to do it. Amazon says, y'all going to do that? You're off here. That's cool. That's fine. They go on to say, this week, a box of 100 regular face masks. Hey, Dalton, what is a regular face mask? Do you know what a regular regular face, says, because I mean, I've got the face mask at the house like I use if I'm painting or if we're sanding fiberglass. You know, you're working with fiberglass, I put that mask on. I don't think that one is coronavirus. If it is, I got a couple of those packs. It says 100 regular face mask was being sold for $15, almost quadruple its price just a few weeks ago, and a 20-pack of 3M particulate respirator masks, I've used those with fiberglass, rose from $17 to $70. A 10-pack of 3M N5 respirators had gone up from $99.99 to where it was $18.20 a month ago. Okay, so there's the price. Here's the thing. Even with the price gouging, they're sold out. Y'all go Google face mask. Go Google. Remember, Dalton, we looked during the Ebola virus, the last scare there, and the full body suits, the bio suits, what they were, I mean, they were like going triple their price over at Amazon. Now it's just doing that. It's another feared outbreak and another bunch of stuff being sold. How about this? They go on to say, face masks sold at a 7-Eleven store at Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport had risen from $1.99 to $6.99. First of all, it's at the airport. What in the airport's value priced? I had, by the way, just side note, parents can parents commiserate with me here? I had my 14-year-old at one point. We were going through, I think we were in the Denver airport or something, and we're going through, and she sees something in a gift shop she wants, right? You know, that the reaction buy as you're going to get on the plane. To my 14-year-old turned around to me and said, "Dad, this is a really good deal for this." When I picked myself up off the floor there in the airport, I explained to her. She said, this is a great price. Funny, it's something in the airport. Something on the rack there. It's like a Denver Rocks hat or something like that. So this is a really good price for this. Like, thanks, honey. All right, so prices are up on the face mask. But the other part of this is what does it take for a face mask to protect you from coronavirus or COVID-19 or COVID international immaculate infection disease? Well, and we talked a bit this morning that CDC is saying that, hey, if you have a ill-fitting mask, or, you know, and then there's the other part of it with the respirators, if you have that, we put the infographic up earlier with the different beards or goatees or mustaches that may affect that, keeping it from making a perfect seal. You got that issue. But then you have the other one of what's enough filtration, right, to keep the virus out. Okay, so it says here, let's see, the novel coronavirus. Okay, this one's not, who knows? Is it, some people go COVID-19, some people go old school with coronavirus, new hip kids, novel coronavirus. Story says here from CNN, the novel coronavirus has gone global, and what began as an outbreak in China is now threatening to become a worldwide pandemic. Since it was first identified in mid-December, the virus has killed more than 2,800 worldwide. You know, I bet you cats and hammers have killed more than 2,800 worldwide in that same period of time. Just somebody run the stats for me there. But they go on to talk about the people using these masks, right? Which of the masks work? And I guess they're looking at China because China, they were the first place, obviously, to deal with this. And they're already kind of into wearing masks. How many pictures have you seen from Beijing or something like that where people are already wearing the mask, I think, to protect themselves from the highly polluted air in those cities? So the people wearing the mask and which ones work and which ones don't. Now, there's the full mask and like Tyvek suit look. You know what I'm talking about? Like the outbreak thing like we talked about Dustin Hoffman wearing. And then there's just wearing the mask like you're sanding down some fiberglass out there. It's specific to the, I guess, the density of the mask and what it will pull out here. And not all of them, even some it looks like that are sold out online, are not the right mask to prevent it. See what I'm saying? Like, they're not, the weave is not dense enough. Said the, face masks should be used by people who show symptoms of COVID-19 to help prevent the spread of the disease, not to keep from getting it, said Dr. Frank Esper, a pediatric infectious disease specialist at the Cleveland Clinic. Isn't that interesting that they're saying the masks are not for, because I think we all look at that and say, well, okay, the mask is to protect the person who is not sick from having some coronavirus get up in their grill. But they're saying, actually, they're recommending that the people that have coronavirus or have the sickness, they put the mask on to keep it in them. They still go back to saying washing your hands is the best way to spread the to fight the spread of the infection infectious illnesses like coronavirus and the common flu. CDC advises washing your hands with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Also avoid touching your eyes, nose, mouth, blah, 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 with unwashed hands. So number one thing to worry about here is first of all, should you even be wearing a mask if you're not sick? And second of all, if you do, how much does it filter out? They said it's N95 masks. So I guess that's maybe the density of the weave. That is what you would have to wear, that or better, I guess. And if you get it too much tighter, slow down the breathing stuff, right? It said N95 masks, which are respirators that the CDC says filters out at least 95% of airborne particles. They require proper fitting and training to work effectively, and officials don't recommend them to the public. And that's the only one that they say could actually work for filtering this out. So if you're buying that, I mean, that's the if you're looking at all these sold out masks online, or if you go over to the hardware store and try to get one of these masks, CDC is saying those don't even work, but yet they're sold out. You have to have this N95 mask, and then it, at least according to people at CDC, we don't have the training to actually operate the mask properly. So there you go. Before you go buy yourself a new mask to wear around, what would you do? And they say you should wear the mask only if you're sick to keep other people from getting sick. Would you, at your office, here at the radio station, if Dalton walked in with a mask on, what would my reaction be? Would I feel safer, or would I feel less safe if he's wearing the mask? But to check that, Dalton, see if we can get. I've got some of those at the house, though. Seriously, they're used for painting and fiberglass work. Let's wear those in and do the show with those on tomorrow. How about we do that? All right, coming right back. Phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. It's Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Zachary says I get purchase a fitted mask with replaceable filter pads. I don't know if that's different than the one, I think I still have that if it hadn't dry rotted. The one with the kind of rubber mask to it and then the filters out to the side. Like you're doing a lot. Basically, maybe I will be, myself, my family will be safe during a coronavirus outbreak from things I bought to work with fiberglass. The people that have sanded fiberglass over the years, but I got it. I got the mask. I got the filter. I'm good. I got all my on the text line here. Let's see. Supermom says they're talking about face masks that are hospital approved as a regular face mask. Is that N95? Skip says CDC recommends an N95 respirator around $150 if you can find them. Right? Because they're go do. Tell me what you find. Go Google, try to buy one of those right now and see. It's like all out. There we go. My man, Ben, I'm with you. He says, has K&N come out with the coronavirus filter yet? Be like, yeah, I got this respirator mask, but I want one better. And I went and got took out what they came with and put some K&N filters in there. Keith says a P100 is what I got. Sounds like a Sublime song. This texture, unnamed texture, give yourself a nickname, please, unnamed texture. Or your real name, or first name, whatever. So the purpose of the mask would be to reduce the spread of droplets from an infected person to others. Oh, I get it. But and you're correct. That's what the CDC is saying. But honest to goodness, what do people think? They don't buy the, right? They don't buy the mask to keep themselves from getting other people sick. You buy the mask to keep other people from getting you sick. What you're saying, unnamed texture, is exactly what CDC says. But nobody's listening to y'all on this. They're just, it's not happening. All right, I want to run, because of course, you know how news stories work, right? There'll be an international or a national news story. And then local TV will say, everybody's talking about so-and-so, How does that apply back here at home? It's just it's good journalism. It's not a bad thing. It's just a formula. I know when you hear a national story, it'll be the national story. People are talking about this all over the place. Right here at home, the effect of whatever it would be is this. Those kind of stories. All right. So what is the effect here at home? Story here from WKRG.com and Devin and Peter are telling us about the Mobile preparations here in Mobile for the coronavirus. Let's roll that audio here.
It's causing global concern, including in our area.
There are known community viruses that are circulating, including some common coronaviruses, but there have been no known cases locally of the Wuhan strain that's killed 2,700 people worldwide.
News 5's Gabby Easterwood is at the Mobile County Health Department with more on this difference and what you could do to prepare for a possible outbreak. Gabby?
Yeah, Devin and Pete, it's not a matter of if the coronavirus crisis will happen, but when it will hit our area. And if you out there have heard of someone in our area that has the strain of coronavirus COVID-19, well, according to the Mobile County Health Department, that just isn't true.
The new novel coronavirus that causes COVID-19 is not the coronavirus that causes common cold that's been with us for years and years and years.
Dr. Rindy Murphy is the Director of Disease Surveillance and Environmental Services at the Mobile County Health Department. She says she can't understand the confusion, but at this point, there are no known cases of the new coronavirus, COVID-19, in the Mobile area, let alone our state.
Right now, you can't be told you have COVID-19 by an urgent care or a hospital without CDC confirmation. So those are just the common ones that are circulating.
And even though the common forms of coronavirus are the ones circulating in our area, CDC has said to be prepared for a coronavirus crisis because of the COVID-19.
If we see person-to-person-to-person spread, or spread to people outside your immediate contacts, that's when we get concerned, because then we sort of lose our ability to contain it.
Fortunately, Dr. Murphy says if we do get to the point of a pandemic, common preventative measures can help to stop the spread of COVID-19.
Remember not to panic, stay informed, but also practice those prevention measures, washing your hands, disinfecting surfaces at home. Everyone can do their part to protect our community.
So like Dr. Murphy did just say, it's going to be a community effort to make sure that everyone can stay healthy and safe. Is it if we do get to the point that it becomes a pandemic? You can also expect possible school work closures as well as some travel restrictions too. Reporting live in downtown Mobile, I'm Gabby Easterwood, WKRG News 5.
Okay, wait. All right. First of all, you're going to say that people are going to just protect themselves by washing their hands. CDC said it. Health Department said it. It's probably valid. But that doesn't sell product. I guess hand sanitizer and soap. That's not exciting enough. So this will be ramped up to a level. It cannot be as simple as washing one's hands. Could not be. It's got to have more accessories that go with it, like the mask and the full suits, the Ebola suits. You can't just wash hands. That's not exciting enough. All right. And number two on this thing is, what if we're in a place down the road here where we have the coronavirus in Mobile, Baldwin counties, and they are shutting schools and jobs down? Or what if they tell you, you need to stay at home? You can't leave your home because you have coronavirus or whatever. Somebody in your neighborhood has coronavirus, so where y'all are all sheltering in place. I mean, that's the difference, and that's the one worry, that they may be able to get things under control in a totalitarian regime like China, where they could just haul people off and tell them they can't leave this area. That what happens here stateside? Hopefully people would use better judgment in moving around and spreading. But come on. The second they say, we're going to shut down this area and nobody's allowed out because of coronavirus, that's the second everybody leaves that area. So I don't know that. Idea of, you know, if they start shutting things down, and what would they shut down going forward? Will it be something, I mean, is this going to be long-lasting? Does it show up here? Do they shut down big music festivals? The question was, you know, I mean, what would have happened if coronavirus was rampant and Mardi Gras came up? Would they shut Mardi Gras down? Would you not go? What do you do there? So we'll see. But for right now, just go buy up anything you can that looks like a face mask. I know that Dalton walked in here earlier with a Mardi Gras face mask on, asking if that was valid, if that would work. I said yes. Mark Holliday just walked in. He had a some of the paper towels from the men's room here tucked up under his eyeglasses as he walked in, seeing if that would work. And I said that as well was the right choice. But then again, I'm not a doctor. All right, we'll do this all again tomorrow morning for Mobile Mornings. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. And a quick reminder, too, Tuesday night, Super Tuesday, we'll be doing our regular Mobile Mornings coverage of Election Day. Also, this show, Midday Mobile. But I'll be back along with Jeff Poore and the gang at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night. So when the polls close, we go on air. We'll be getting the information as the polls are closing. The numbers are coming out. We're going to be passing along to you. We'll get them for here in our area, obviously statewide as well, as we have resources in the north end and the central part of the state. So we'll be talking to all those folks on Monday or Tuesday night, Super Tuesday night, and hopefully you'll be a part of the show. But that is 7 to 9 coming up on Tuesday. All right, Feinbaum does his thing next, unless he's got coronavirus. I don't know.